What is happening, everybody? Welcome to Season 4, Episode 3 of Sports Bar Talk. Real quick, before we get into the picks, let's recap Week 2, our picks. A much better week than Week 1. We go 3-4, with our only loss being the Vikings. Boy, that game was boring. Unless you love defense, that was very much an old-school football game. With the only touchdown in the game being a Tyler Allgeier run, where the Vikings let him score so they could get the ball to at least try to cut it to a one-score game, which was actually kind of smart. But, so that was our only loss. We got both Monday night games correct. Chargers really had control of that game from the beginning. Raiders had some drives in the beginning that got stalled out in the red zone, and they had to settle for some field goals, so that really kind of messed up their chances. Geno Smith also didn't have the best game. Had a lot of sacks, threw a lot of balls in the coverage. The Buccaneers, that game looked over when Nick Chubb had the touchdown run. But Baker Mayfield's a dog. And you know what? If there is any quarterback right now in the NFL who I would trust with 2 minutes left in the game to go win me a football game, it's Baker Mayfield. I just think he's the guy. We've seen it dating back to even his Oklahoma days, his college days. But the Browns, the Rams. When he was cut from Carolina and he signed with the Rams on a Tuesday because they needed a quarterback for their Thursday night game, and he barely knew the playbook, and he led the Rams to a game-winning drive on that Thursday night game. I believe that was like 2 years ago. I forget who they were playing, but I could not believe my eyes when I saw that happen. But Baker's always been that guy. And in the two-minute drill, I'd trust him over Mahomes or Allen or even Jalen Hurts for that matter. Their offense is not even close to their full potential. Chris Godwin's not back yet, but Mike Evans is playing pretty good. Ibuka has 6 touchdowns in his first 2 games this season. He's making a really strong case for Rookie of the Year. And they're just looking really good. I think they'll win the NFC South. I can make a strong prediction there on that. And I'm really high on this Bucs team. So that was a good result right there. Let's see. Eagles-Cowboys got a little dicey, but the Eagles really had control of that game. It was a closer game than I really... Honestly, I'm not surprised it was a close game. It was at Arrowhead. But touch-push worked to our favor. Although I will say, on the touchdown there, the Eagles jumped, false started blatantly on the play, and I don't know how the refs missed that. And it just makes you wonder how many other times this has happened to the touch push over the past couple years where they've jumped off, where they've false started, and the refs blatantly don't call it. It just makes you wonder. But works to our advantage, so with that win right there, we just had the Eagles to win. So 4 games to pick this week. 1-4 clock block, not really entertaining. I don't want to do Cowboys-Bears. So we're going to do the Chargers again, though we're taking on the Broncos. I like the two rookie not really rookies. Bo Nix and Justin Herbert, they feel like rookies to me, but that'll be a good game. And then Lions-Ravens will be our de facto game of the week, and that's the Monday night game. Cannot wait to pick that one. Buck and Aikman on the call. That's the only Monday night game this week. No staggered start times or anything. And, you know, I saw a lot of people on social media that were mad that we're having 2 Monday Night Football games. These are the same people that were complaining about the 7 o'clock game and the 8:15 start. These are standalone windows. The Bucs game was off right in time, and they literally ran straight from the Bucs game to the kickoff of the Chargers game. The more football, the better. And I know people need to get to bed, but the game, that Chargers-Raiders game was over with about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. You could have went to bed at that point, but I just love football, and I think the more football, the merrier. Now, the only problem is CBS's window last year in December, they basically had nothing. But I equate that to the Netflix deal with Christmas games, playing a game on Black Friday, which isn't really much. I equate it more to the Netflix games, and now it looks like probably more international games are on the horizon. But I don't have a problem with the Monday night doubleheaders. Maybe the staggered, I can see where you have a little problem where you got two games at once. But now that you have the new ESPN app, you've got multi-view. So that's a little sports media tidbit right there. But let's pick the games. We'll start with tonight's game. Thursday night football. Amazon Prime. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit on the call. You got the 0-2 Miami Dolphins. Could it be the final game for Mike McDaniel? He's been on, I think his seat might be red hot right now. Tua and company. Of course, Tyreek Hill. It looks like he is getting frustrated being in Miami. Probably going to want to trade. Will he go back to the Chiefs? I don't know. And they'll travel to Buffalo to take on a Bills team that I think will probably represent the AFC out of the Super Bowl. We've talked about the Bills 2 weeks ago. The miraculous win on Sunday Night Football. What do? They follow it up with an absolute rout of the New York Jets. James Cook had a phenomenal game. Now, the final score in that game was 30-10. They scored 10 points in the... They scored 20 in the first half. Looked really good. Now, in terms of injuries for the Bills, we've got nothing really notable. Shaq Thompson was limited in practice all week. He's questionable, so we'll see what inactives are like. Cam Lewis was limited with a shoulder injury. Teron Johnson, their good corner, he was limited in practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with a quad. So we'll see what goes on there. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano are going to be out. So maybe a little bit of ease with the pass rush today. Although they still have Joey Bosa, so it's going to be probably rough for Tua. But we haven't had a Dolphins game yet this year, so let's go over the depth chart for them. Of course, I did just mention Tua is still the quarterback. Running back room is basically still the same. You've got Devon Achane. Mostert's gone. So they have Jalen Wright as the backup. They also have Ollie Gordon. Darren Waller, of course, retired, then unretired to come sign with the Dolphins. Hasn't really made much of a difference yet. And he's probably not the same Darren Waller that was dominating with the Raiders a couple years ago. But so it's interesting to see that they brought him back. Actually, really interesting, because normally when you're retired, you are retired for good. Now we've seen two in the last 5 years. Actually, three. I mean, Gronk, Tom Brady, and now Darren Waller. And I'm probably missing another one. Wide receiver-wise, this is where it gets tricky. You've got Tyreek Hill, of course, but he seems to be getting unhappy. Jalen Waddle, who's actually been playing not bad this year. Now, Jalen Waddle does have an injury, and he's questionable. I'll go to the injury report. Let's just see what's going on. It's a shoulder. No practice Monday, but he was limited yesterday and Tuesday. That's going to be very interesting to see. And Darren Waller's out for this game as well, now that I'm looking at the injury report, with a hip injury. So, looks like they're going to be relying a lot on, where's the backup? Julian Hill to do the tight end stuff. Let's see. Jalen Wright looks like a go, the backup running back. Malik Washington, he had a thumb injury, was limited Monday and Tuesday. He went as a full practice to yesterday, so it looked like he'll be good. So that's pretty much the bulk of the injuries for Miami. But so the line in this game is 12.5. This might move up by game time. I just think Jalen Waddle could move it to 13 or something like that. So give me the Bills minus 12.5. Basically, they got to win by two touchdowns or more. They could win by exactly 12, but I need to see it from the Dolphins before we can confidently pick the Dolphins. I thought about a play on the total, but maybe like an underplay, kind of like last week with the Jets, where the Bills go crazy and the Dolphins do nothing on offense, but I'm going to take the more confident sign. The team would house money, It's another home game for them, Thursday Night Football, division rival. I think they'll be ready for this one. Sean McDermott will have his guys ready. So Bills minus 12.5 is our Thursday Night Football pick. All right, let's go to Chargers Broncos, and we haven't picked a Broncos game yet this year, so let's do the depth chart for Denver. Denver, of course, kind of surprised a lot of people by making the wild card round last year with Sean Payton as their head coach. Of course, Bo Nix, the quarterback, this I now, I believe, is his second or third year, but it's his second season really as the starter. He said they've had an interesting season. They should have won the game on Sunday. Missed, in case you didn't see it. Colts had a field goal to win. Was missed. But there was a flag on the play, and the Broncos were called for leveraging, which I didn't really see the leverage. The guy, I guess, pushed off the center, some back, to try and block the ball. Didn't really make much of a difference, so I don't know why you would call that. And I didn't have a play on this game. We never picked the game. But the Colts got another chance to kick the field goal. It was actually closer. It was like a 5-yard penalty, and they drained it. And the Colts are 2-0 to start the season. Good for them. But, so tough one for Denver. They are, of course, 1-1. They beat Tennessee week one. But Bo Nix is the quarterback. Running back room is definitely an interesting running back room. You've got J.K. Dobbins, former Baltimore Raven, but more importantly, he's a former Ohio State Buckeye. R.J. Harvey is the backup back, and he's been really good. They've used him in a couple sets. Cortland Sutton, one of the better wide receivers in the AFC, of course. Evan Engram, former Giant at tight end, and then, of course, also the other backup tight end, Adam Trautman. And other wide receiver, Marvin Mims and Troy Franklin. He's a really good, if you're a fantasy football player, and Troy Franklin's available in your league, and you kind of need some depth at wide receiver, he might be a good pickup right there. But, you know, you look at defensively, well, actually, offensive line. Mike McGinkley, one of the better right tackles in the league. Luke Wattenberg's at center. And then we go to defense. Pretty good defense. Pat Surtain, of course, you've heard of him a lot. If you watch Broncos games, he's a good left cornerback. Riley Moss at right corner, he's really good. Jaquan McMillan, nickel corner, he's pretty good. Nick Benito, one of the linebackers. Of course, Dre Greenlaw is a pretty good linebacker. As we know, I believe he played for the 49ers. Let me just verify that real quick. Yes, he was on the 49ers. Out of Fayetteville High School. Fayetteville, Arkansas. All right, was hoping it was Fayetteville, Arkansas. There we go. So, Woo Pig Suey. And then, of course, they have Will Lutz. Of course, he was with the Saints. Now, he did miss a field goal, I believe, on Sunday, and that might have been the difference in why they lost. But, you know what? It was a penalty, so probably wasn't much of a difference. But, okay. In terms of the injury report for this game, of course, this is Sunday. We don't have a Bronco injury report, but we do have a Chargers injury report. Ladd McConkey did not practice yesterday for the Chargers. Be an interesting one to monitor. That's the big name so far. Denver hasn't put out an injury report yet, so I can't say anything there yet. The other guy, notable name that really didn't practice, is Will Disley, the tight end for the Chargers. So we could see a lot of Tyler Conklin at tight end if for some reason he doesn't go. Disley is a knee injury, by the way. It's a bicep issue for Ladd. So in terms of the game, I truly think the Chargers are the better football team. The line in this game, by the way, is at, I believe it was 2.5. And by the way, this game's going to be at 4:05. Good chance most of you listening won't be able to get this game on your local CBS station. So just, if you have Sunday ticket, use that. Or go to, like, Buffalo Wild Wings, the Blue Gray. If you're in Philly, you might get the game, though, because the Eagles and Rams will be on Fox. And the NFL rule is, if you're in a home market of a team, and so, like, the Philly market, if the Eagles play on Fox at 1 o'clock, and Fox has a doubleheader. CBS cannot air a game on that local station during the 1 o'clock window, but they can air a 4:05 game. Now, if the Eagles play on Fox at 1 o'clock, and CBS has the doubleheader, then both networks can air a game at the same time at 1 o'clock. That's an interesting tidbit right there. So if you're ever like, for the Michigan audience, I know y'all always watch the Lions at 1 o'clock, but if the Lions play at Fox at 1 o'clock, it just happened on Sunday. The Lions played the Bears on Fox at 1 o'clock, and on Channel 62, there was no game at 1 o'clock. That's just the rule. It's an NFL rule. It's always been like that. I don't know why, but I think it's just to get more eyeballs on the local team. And it's like that for every team. It happened when I was in college. We got the Pittsburgh channels. So whenever the Steelers played at 1 on CBS, and CBS had the doubleheader, there was no game on Fox. Just how it went. But yeah. So the line 2.5, total 45.5, excuse me. And we're gonna stick with what's hot. The LA Chargers, it's gonna be at SoFi. It's a home game. Give me the Chargers to win. And real quick, calling that game will be one of my favorite booths on Sundays in the NFL for CBS. Well, actually, for the NFL in general on Sundays. Kevin Harlan, who is also now the voice of the NBA on Amazon Prime, and then former Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Trent Green will be on the call. Trent Green is another one of those color commentators that I like. Really digs into the analysis of the game, the X's and O's, good explanations, gets to the point, lets Kevin Harlan handle the play-by-play, and of course, Kevin Harlan needs no introduction. Electrifying calls, whether it's football or basketball. Yeah, so Kevin Harlan and Trent Green on the call in that game, and actually, if you're lucky enough to get the Washington, D.C. stations where you live, if you're in Pennsylvania, you can watch this game with an antenna and try and get the CBS station in, what's that market? D.C., because the Commanders are playing the Raiders at the same time. And then, of course, Philly, if you are listening to this and you live in the Philly market or get the Philly CBS station, you can watch this game as well. Yeah, Chargers-Raiders right there. All right, Sunday Night Football. We're going to MetLife Stadium, where Mahomes and Kelce and company, the 0-2 Kansas City Chiefs, not really surprised by that. It's not really panic time quite yet. Lose to the Giants and maybe we'll start panicking. They take on Russ and the Giants. How about Russell Wilson turning back the clock on Sunday? An amazing game against the Cowboys and a losing effort in overtime. I'll tell you what. There was like 30 seconds left to go in that game and Russ hit Malik Nabers for a 50-yard touchdown. And it looked like the game was over with 20 seconds left. Not when you have Brandon Aubrey, one of the best, or no, I'll say it, the best kicker in the NFL, drains a 64-yarder, I do believe, to send the game to overtime, and then he hit the game-winning field goal, but that was like from 40 yards, which is really an extra point for Brandon. But we haven't picked a Giants game yet this year. Doesn't look like it's going to be a good year for them. Their QB room, though, looks pretty good, though. Of course, Russ right now is the starter. But if he really messes up in the next couple games, although he had a great game to kind of solidify himself, they'll probably turn to the rookie Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss. Of course, they used their first-round pick on him. Looked really good in the preseason. And there was people after week one wanting Jackson Dart to start. He needs time to develop. Maybe in a month and a half, if Russ isn't cutting it, they'll go to Jackson Dart. But if they go to Jackson Dart, and Dart's not cutting it, they have Jameis Winston. So it's an interesting quarterback room of three guys two capable of being starters, and one that very soon will be capable of being a starter with development. And the offense isn't bad. I mean, running back-wise, you have Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, and then a guy who got a lot of touches on Sunday's game. The rookie out of Arizona State, Cam Scataboo, who had a pretty good game. I think he had a touchdown. And so he would not surprise me at all if he becomes the lead back at some point this season for the Giants. Wide receiver-wise, we mentioned Malik Nabers. Wandale Robinson is not a bad receiver at all. Darius Slayton isn't bad. Tight end-wise, you got Theo Johnson. Daniel Bellinger, who it feels like he's been with the Giants forever. So it's not a bad offense. It's just, there's some, Russ is getting old. He's been in the league for like 14 or 15 years. So, we'll see. He looked like Seattle Russ on Sunday. He has moments. He had moments with the Steelers where he looked like Seattle Russ. So, we'll see. Defensively, Kayvon Thibodeau, he's a dangerous edge rusher. Dexter Lawrence is a great nose tackle. Brian Burns, Bobby Okereke, Javon Holland at safety, he's pretty good. They have a kicker, Graham Gano, he's been a journeyman kicker in this league. Gunnar Oslenski handles the punts and kicks returns. The Scottish Hammer, Jamie Gillen, handles the punts. So it's a good Giants team. And both teams are 0-2, obviously, but, and the Chiefs have lost close games. Now, with the Chiefs, they still really don't have a wide receiver yet. Rice comes back, well, after the Giants game, it'll be one more game, but still two games. And then, you've got the, Hollywood Brown. I think he's actually hurt now. Yeah. With an ankle injury, but he was a full participant in practice yesterday, so he's good to go. And then Kelsey's had a rough game on Sunday, was visibly angry, but let's get to the injury reports. So, Scataboo, he also had an ankle issue, looks like he's a full participant. Wandale Robertson has a foot issue, limited participant. We'll see. Again, these were yesterday's practices. Who knows what the Thursday practices? We don't get those reports out at the time of this recording. Just a lot of, those are the big names as far as I can tell. On the Chiefs side, we mentioned Hollywood. Xavier Worthy, he was actually a limited participant today, or yesterday, with a shoulder issue, so he could go on Sunday. Mahomes showed up with a right wrist injury, full participant, but you know, there was that time toward the end of Brady's career where Brady showed up on the injury report every week. Didn't really matter. Mostly full participants for the Chiefs. Two guys that Michael Dana and Christian Fulton were DNPs. So, terms of the line on this game. Chiefs are 6-point favorites. The total is 45.5. And this might be a horrible pick for me. This could either go really, really well or really, really bad. But we're actually going to pick the Giants here at +6. Albeit they were playing a Micah Parsons-less Cowboys defense. But I saw Russ turn back the clock. And the Giants defense could make a play, make Mahomes run. He's been running a lot more lately. I trust the Giants to keep this within a one-score game. So, we'll take the Giants +6. But I won't be shocked if this is a horrible pick. And then we got Monday Night Football. M&T Bank Stadium, Baltimore, Maryland. The Lions come to town after routing Caleb Williams and spoiling the homecoming of Ben Johnson and those Chicago Bears. We've had both of these teams already this season, so you don't need introduction. I know most of our audience is probably very aware of the depth charts for the Lions and the Ravens, so we won't dig into that. Since it's a Monday night game, we don't have like an injury report, but so we'll just recap their games. Lions looked really good against the Bears. Jared Goff had an amazing, amazing performance. So did Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course. The final stat line from that game, as I get it pulled up, Jared Goff, 23 of 28, 334 yards, 5 touchdown passes. He looked really, really good. Amon-Ra, he caught 3 of those touchdowns from Jared Goff. Of course, he had 9 catches for 115 yards. And Jameson Williams had a pretty good game, too. 2 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown being one of those catches. Isaac Tesla had another good catch for 29 yards. Laporta, free catches, 26 yards. In terms of the running backs, looked like Sonic and Knuckles were back at it again. Jahmyr Gibbs, 12 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. Montgomery, 11 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. Excuse me. So they looked really, really good on offense. The Ravens came off of a pretty good performance against Cleveland, winning 41-17. Of course, they pulled away mostly in the second half. Pretty good game from Lamar. Derrick Henry, you know, the Browns did a really good job of stopping Derrick Henry. He only had 11 carries, 23 yards. His longest run was 8 yards. And they actually did a great job of stopping the run in general. Lamar only had 2 carries for 13 yards. They only gave up 45 yards of rushing. So Baltimore did all their damage through the air. Lamar, 19 of 29. 225 yards passing for 4 touchdowns. No picks. Zay Flowers, 7 catches, 75 yards. D-Hop, 2 catches, 64 yards. He's been really good for the Ravens so far. And he also caught a touchdown. Devontae Walker, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns, 26 yards. Tylan Wallace, 2 catches, 25 yards and a touchdown. So the Ravens offense, I got no issues with. They look really good. This is going to be a great game because, to me, if you look at a complete football team, give me Lamar at quarterback, Henry, Gibbs, and Montgomery at running back, Andrews and Laporta as the two tight ends, Amon-Ra at wide receiver with J-Mo, and then Zay Flowers, that's a great offense. And then you throw in the Lions defense, that's an ultimate football team right there. Now, I know this game is in Baltimore, and Baltimore is a scary place to play at night. But the line is 4.5 points. That is insane. So you gotta give me the underdog in this situation. I'll tell you this right now. If the Ravens were 4.5 point dogs, I'd be picking them. But it's the Lions that are the 4.5 point dogs, so we're going to pick the Detroit Lions. Our Monday Night Football record has been pretty good, though, this year, because we hit both last week. And then 2 weeks ago, we hit the Bears. So we're 2-1 on Monday Night Football. Not bad, but so let's get to the picks real quick. We're on the Bills minus 12.5, Chargers to win, Giants to cover 6. Lions plus 4.5. All right. Restaurant of the week. And we're going to do a chain, but I believe they're only really in Michigan. Oh, no. They're also in Ohio, Tennessee, and Indiana. I'm talking about, and the Michigan audience is, if you love Mediterranean food, there's a good chance you've been to this place. I've never been in one of these before, but I believe it's like a Subway for Mediterranean food. Pete Away, Mediterranean Eats. And they, of course, have 44 locations in Michigan, mostly in the Detroit area. There's 3 in Ohio, but it doesn't look like they're like near Cleveland or anywhere, like the Youngstown area. You've got 1 in Tennessee in Franklin, and then 1 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So, majority of the locations are in Ohio. But let's dig into the menu. We got this Sunday night while watching that horrible Vikings-Falcons game. Well, boring. It wasn't a horrible game. because Bijan Robinson went off. But they have, now it's like Subway or a Chipotle. You get there, you tell them you want a burrito or a bowl, like a Chipotle. And you basically, you pick a protein, a base. It's like that with the bowls. So you, it's an all-in-one meal. You choose a base. A lot of, you can get yellow rice as your base, maybe salad, lettuce, hummus base, hummus and tabbouleh, just tabbouleh, or you can get your bowl on a bed of French fries. And I'll tell you this right now, we'll get to the fries in a minute. They double coat their fries, and that is my favorite way to have regular French fries. Now, obviously, my favorite French fry type is a waffle fry or a curly fry, but mainly waffle. But if it's going to be a regular fry, you better double coat that thing, because I know it just tastes really good. So, and then you basically, you choose your base. Now, that's for bowls. I don't think you'd really want to choose a base if you're getting a sandwich or their version of a quesadilla, which I'll talk about in a sec. You choose your protein. You can get white meat chicken, dark meat chicken, gyro meat, crispy chicken, falafel, or you can mix and match. You can put multiple in. And then you can do, they have cheddar, feta cheese, or you can mix and match the cheeses. You choose your toppings. A lot of veggies, of course, on that list. A lot of the same bases. You can get rice, of course. French fries on it. And then you top it off with a sauce. And so they have a garlic sauce that is really good. Their hummus is pretty good as well. They have a spicy hummus I've never really had. But they have a white sauce, which is really good. Signature, it's creamy. It is really, really good. So that's like the bowls. Sandwiches, pretty much the same concept. You choose a protein, and then you just choose your toppings and your cheeses and what sauces you want. I normally get falafel, and the falafel is really, really good at this place. Now, their quesadilla is called the quesapita. Get it? Pita way? Quesadilla equals a quesapita. And it's basically the same thing as the sandwich. You choose the protein, and then you choose your cheeses and your toppings, and away you go and you choose the sauces. Really, really good. They have, of course, sides. You can get a cup of garlic sauce to dip in pita bread or their homemade pita chips. You can get hummus and tabbouleh, regular hummus, spicy hummus. I mentioned their French fries. They also have chicken tenders, salads. But what they have is dill fries. Now, it's not dill pickle fries. It's their French fries, and they put, like, feta, dill sauce. It's a new dill sauce. And a dash of dill. It reminds me a lot of Greek fries from a place that if you go to Waynesboro, you've probably been to this place. They have really good Greek fries, and we probably reviewed it on this podcast. The Wayne's Burger reminds me so much of that. The only difference is the fries are double-coated here, and I don't remember if they double-coat their fries at the Wayne's Burger. But, yeah. And I've never had their chicken tenders. I just realized I mentioned the chicken tenders, and I've never had them before. So that might be the next time I get pita way, we will be trying the chicken tenders, because they're also served with the French fries. So, yeah. That is Pita Way. And if you live in Pennsylvania, yeah, you're going to have to get to Ohio and Michigan to go try this place. It's really good. All right. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Sports Bar Talk. Have fun watching all the football this week, as well as the Pennsylvania Derby and WrestlePalooza, the first WWE premium live event to air on the new ESPN app. And this is Sports Bar Talk, where we got the best seat in the house.